Catholic commentary. Spiritual warfare. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Jesus 911
on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. My name is Ruben Nava, and my partner Jesse Romero is not on today. He's out doing some apostolic work. I don't know who's busier in their travel schedule, was Jesse Romero or President Trump. But I'll tell you what, he's out there doing good things, and he was here in Covina this past weekend, and I got a chance to see him at the Spiritual Warfare Conference. If you didn't hear it, then you need to call the station or email us and make sure you get a link to that talks. And it was Dan Schneider was on fire. Jesse Romero was his usual self. And it was something to behold, because we are in some uncharted waters right now with what's going on in the world and politics. But today I have a special guest who was also at the conference and, you know, give me the idea. Hey, let's get him on the show. It's my friend Eddie Brock. Eddie Brock, are you with us?
I'm here, Ruben. All right. Good morning.
Good morning. So Eddie's a former police officer from San Diego area. I'll have him just kind of introduce himself, give you a little rundown of where he's coming from. But he's a breath of fresh air. I know that the several times that I've met him here at the conferences, and you know, he's one of those salt of the earth kind of guys. You know, I could go 10-8 with you, man, in the field, because man, we'd have some great conversations in that radio car, you know. And I'm sure that you have some great stories from your days, if you know, with being a man of faith in uniform. So Eddie, tell us about yourself before we get started.
Yeah, I sure will. Mm-hmm. Praise God, and thank you for that gracious introduction. You know, I'm a Christian I'm a Catholic man. I'm a Christian under construction like everyone else.
Awesome.
But my story is definitely has some different twists in it that make me different from another person, yet the same. So I've retired in July of 2019 from the San Diego Sheriff's Department, where I spent 27 years. You know, I had a wide variety of positions. I mean, a great experience, a great organization at one point. And I rose to the rank of lieutenant, you know, trying to, you know, help my family and show my kids the different goals you set, and then you take the slow steps to them. I've been born and raised in Philadelphia, and I came to California by way of the Marine Corps, where I served 5.5 years with a variety of assignments there.
Oh, thank you.
Special duty. In different countries outside of the normal rotations. I'm a Gulf War era veteran, and I really love service. Started with service to the country. Actually started at home, being obedient, service to my parents, my mother, and then being obedient, serving the country, and then serving the local community, where I settled and took a wife and raised two children. But cradle Catholic, that's a very dangerous word, and I know a lot of people throw it around in a pious way, and we really don't live up to it, because quite frankly, we take for granted what's given to us. And if you know anything about Christianity, God will not be mocked. And I turned the corner. My friend Ernie asked this question to me this summer. He says, "Hey, when did you red pill?" And I'm like, "What? When did you red pill?" I had to remember who I'm talking to, even though we've been in about 40 minutes of conversation at this point. And he asked that question for a couple of reasons, but my answer caused me to pause. I had an answer, but it really made me go a little deeper when he posed it to me that way. Around 2013, you know, my marriage was falling apart. My family was in shambles. And of course, I look across. It was all my wife's fault. It always is. But there were some things that I would hey, the ladies can throw the rocks at me later.
Yeah.
There were some things that I was doing in life, it was mostly things that I was not doing. And I won't hold any punches here, but there were things that I was not doing. And the number one thing, I was not capitalizing on the faith that was given to me. Mm. And when I saw, you know, the fights between my daughter and I, and, you know, my son was too young to be a part of the problem. But between my wife and my daughter and myself, we were fighting like cats and dogs, as if we're all on equal playing ground. Mm. Fast forward, you know, after a short separation, My wife and I reconciled, and we agreed and revowed to work harder and work the right way across, you know, the marital lines, not familial lines, making nice. My daughter an equal partner. And I'm not taking away from my daughter, but she was a child, and we owed her two solid parents, not a voice in the house. And when we did that, you know, ultimately we're still married 18 and a half years later.
Amen.
But the red pill came after that breakup, as Ernie posed a question to me.
Mm.
And the red pill said, you know what? They had been advertising other radio stations and Catholic radio used the internet. I finally took them up one day and said, hey, what is this about? And I tried it. And once I start hearing other men and women, but mostly men, at Madrid, that's where I met Jesse and Terry.
Mm,
and they were so on fire. And everything they said had deep, thick roots. And there was no way that tree was going to die from the base they were talking about scripture, tradition, the magisterium, and everyday living, making it apply every day in 2013, 2014 versions of that.
Yeah.
So I started listening and listening. I went to the first spiritual warfare conference. I met dozens and dozens of good men like yourself, Ruben, and it's been a wrap ever since. I, in turn, took a version of that and brought that home to my house, and I just did everything from a basis of faith, which changed the way I see things. It changed my filter versus a worldly filter that was failing me right in front of my eyes.
Well, we're all works in progress, Eddie. So, you know, it's going to be a daily struggle. You know, like says 1 Peter 5, 8 through 9 says, be sober and watch, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist ye? Strong in faith, knowing that the same affliction befalls your brethren who are in the world. So, you know, we've got principalities and powers all around us that are trying to take us down. And especially when you're a man of faith, man, they'd love nothing more than to, you know, put a notch on their gun belt. Hey, look, we got one, man. And so keep fighting the good fight, brother.
Yeah. That's very true. I'm a man of faith by baptism and my initial sacraments at that time, but I wasn't living the faith, and that was a problem. You ever see the cartoon of the monster with the victim half eaten and their feet are hanging out the monster's mouth dangling?
Yeah.
That was me, because I was blind to everything that was happening around me. And quite frankly, I was ill because I wanted the things that made me feel good. And I didn't want to do anything difficult that made sacrifice for the family or listen to my wife and, you know, work the partnership to its fullest. So I was blind to the things that I was supposed to be doing. And I caught up a little bit. And I got the scars to prove it.
Hey, you know what? Someone sent me some powerful words of what's going on in the world. It's from an investment guru named Dave Ramsey. A lot of people have read some of his books, his works and stuff. He's an evangelical Christian, but I just thought it was pretty apropos for what's going on in society. And I'll tell you, I'm gonna go ahead and read this short, email that he sent out. And then we're going to talk about Martin Luther King. And did you know that Martin Luther King appreciated the rosary? Well, there's a story about that, and we'll talk about that. So let me just break this down. Dave Ramsey says, this morning I realized that everything is about to change. No matter how I vote, no matter what I say, lives are never going to be the same. I've been confused by the hostility of family and friends. I look at people I have known all my life so hate-filled that they agree with opinions that would never express as their own. I think that I may well have entered the twilight zone. You can't justify this insanity. We have become a nation that has lost its collective mind. We see other countries going socialist and collapsing, but it seems like a great plan to us. Somehow it's un-American for the census to count how many Americans are in America. People who are there is no such thing as gender are demanding a female president. If people who say that there's no such thing as gender are demanding a female president. Universities that advocate equality discriminate against Asian Americans in favor of African Americans. Some people are held responsible for things that happened before they were born, and other people are not held responsible for what they're doing right now. We saw that all throughout the summer. Criminals are caught and released to hurt more people, but stopping them is bad because it's a violation of their rights. People who have never owned slaves should pay slavery reparations to people who have never been slaves. After legislating gender, if a dude pretends to be a woman, you are required to pretend with him. It was cool for Joe Biden to blackmail the president of Ukraine, but it's an unimpeachable offense if Donald Trump inquires about it. People who have never been to college should pay the debts of college students who took out huge loans for their degrees. Immigrants and tuberculosis and polio are welcome, but you better be able to prove your dog is vaccinated. Irish doctors and German engineers who want to immigrate to the United States must go through a rigorous vetting process, but any illiterate gangbangers who jump the southern wall fence are welcome. $5 million for border security is too expensive, but $1.5 trillion for free health care is not. And if you cheat to get into college, you go to prison. But if you cheat to get into the country, you go to the college for free. And pointing out all this hypocrisy makes us racist. Nothing makes sense anymore. No values, no morals, no civility. And people are dying of Chinese virus, but it's racist to refer to it as a Chinese virus, even though it began in China. So we are clearly living in an upside down world where right is wrong and wrong is right, where moral is immoral and immoral is moral, where good is evil and evil is good, where killing murderers is wrong, but killing innocent babies is right. Wake up, America. The great unsinkable ship, Titanic America, has hit an iceberg, is taking on water and sinking fast. Pretty powerful words from Dave Ramsey. And
very powerful.
You know, I can agree with everything he said there. And we're seeing so many things that are going. We're seeing so many things that are going on in the world that makes you scratch your head and say, "Man, why?" You know, why is our Lord allowing this unjust world and these unjust politicians and media to get away with this? But anyway, he's still in charge. Ultimately, we'll be right back. We're going to talk about Martin Luther King. Do not change that dial. We got a special guest, Eddie Brock, with us today. The LT.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, we are back. And I'm a two-man car today, even though my partner Jesse's not here. We've replaced him today with the former Lieutenant Eddie Brock. So I'll be driving, Eddie, because you got ranked, so you'll be sitting shotgun, calling the shots. Anyway, you know, we are the FBI, Eddie, faithful, believing intercessors. We believe.
Amen.
We believe the CIA. Christ is alive. We are the DOJ, Disciples of Jesus. We aim to ATF, assemble the faithful, and we seek the DEA to denounce every abomination. And we teach LAPD, love attracts people definitely, or love attracts, pride destroys. We will, LASD, love and sacrifice daily so that we can leave all sin destroyed. So, my little acronyms.
I promise you have San Diego acronyms up there later on.
Yes, do it, man. Give me something.
All right.
you took a look at this article I sent you, Eddie. I know I had not heard of this, but the story that came out in Alatea, their website said it was by Father Joseph Mary Wolf. He's a Franciscan missionary of the Eternal Word, and with his permission, he's sharing to the Eleuteria readers a letter written on September 23rd, 1964 by Martin Luther King Jr., who lived from 1928 to 1968, who at that time was the president of the Southern Christian Leadership Council. And, you know, I bring this up because we just yesterday celebrated Martin Luther King Day, although it was, you know, I guess what was the 15th is actually celebrated, but because it was the holiday was given on Monday. The historic document reveals the spirit and heart of this Baptist pastor who, inspired by the example of Gandhi, used nonviolence as a strategy to defend the civil rights of Black Americans. I think Eddie, I think you might agree with me that he would be shaking in his grave right now if he saw what transpired with the new civil rights movement of the BLM this past summer. Would you agree?
I would absolutely agree. There's nothing good that comes out of an organization like BLM, quite frankly. And I'll say this, you know, given a slight bit of being patient with a lot of the members. People get wrapped in by the word black.
Mm-hmm.
There was not that long ago where a lot of African Americans only preferred to be called black. So no one really has proprietary rights over the name or how you refer to us in our race. But the fact is, the organization doesn't stand for what it proposes. for. And when the three founders go public on multiple outlets and tell you that they're trained Marxists, we talk to generation, we talk to spirits, we resurrect our grandparents, and they say things like that. That's clearly not in the Christian faith, not in the Christian tradition to talk to the dead. That's called necromancy. It's a mortal sin, and you're opening yourself to a lot of demonic influence. So BLM, on the surface, is something that is wooing people in, playing on the sensitivities of the frustration of minorities, particularly Blacks, African Americans around the country, because of some of the injustices by some bad actors in the world. Some of them wear uniforms, wear badges and guns. Some of them wear suits and ties in the district attorney's office and politicians. So BLM is playing on that. Those women who make millions of dollars with donations and all the other executives are not doing anything, and I mean anything, to promote social justice at all. They're promoting anarchy. They're supporting communism. They're practicing a bunch of bad things that are bad for anybody spiritually, regardless of what faith you're from, unless you're on Team Satan.
That's right.
So, you know, Martin Luther King wouldn't go for anything like that because he was the stark opposite. Mm-hmm. And his method of nonviolence caused you to come to the table and talk. And it's not wrong to be at odds because we're different people. But until we come together and marry up our views, you get to see me and hear me. I get to see you and hear you. And whether we agree or not right then and there remains to be seen. But when I'm looking across to a brother in Christ or a sister in Christ, those are the principles and those are the foundations that we do not work from in today's world. And so when we start seeing everyone as the enemy, every single problem we face is a nail, so we have to come across as a hammer. Mm. Not only division that promotes hate, and Satan loves nothing more than to divide us, to divide our families, divide our office, divide our communities, divide, destroy. And we bought into it based on some sensitivities and some wrongdoings. Because I can tell you, as a supervisor in law enforcement, there was an African-American law enforcement professional and a supervisor. I was in a managerial position for a very long time. Mm-hmm. And I took great pride in saving deputies that wanted to be saved. But the deputies that wanted to be rambunctious and do their own thing and have this us versus them mentality, in the sense that the person you're arresting who deserves to be arrested is no longer a person, that's where management comes in. Because if I allow that, I in turn am a part of the problem. And that's not what law enforcement's about. That very same cop goes around the corner, gives a warning to someone else who looks like him or is more favorable to him because it's a female, or whatever weakness this person, this deputy, male or female, is playing on, you're being led astray. And we forget to look at people, or refuse to look at people as people first, and then address the problem if there in fact is one.
Great point, Eddie. That's awesome. Those are some powerful words right there as a leader, you know. And they may not agree with you, but I bet you, Eddie, that they look back now and they say, man, that guy was a man of honor. That guy, he had an ideal, then he stuck to his guns. And I think, like you said, I was the same way. I was a sergeant, and I had guys that, you know, I tried my best to help them, to keep, you know, protect them when I need, when, you know, and mostly from them, like you said, mostly from themselves, you know, and not aware of policy and the, you know, case law and all that. You had to, you know, you had to kind of pull the reins back sometimes on them. But so this letter is it was Miss Muriel Blackburn. She wrote to Reverend Martin Luther King, and she says that she must have been speaking about a rosary, and that she's praying a rosary, and that she's used a rosary. He wrote back to her. She said, thank you for your letter of recent date. It's always a pleasure to share the opinions of our friends of goodwill. My apparent negligence was due to the fact that I wanted to give your letter my personal attention and the tremendous volume of mail before me. I appreciate very much your thoughtfulness in my behalf. The rosary has proven to be very helpful. Your letter warmed my heart and gave me new determination. Let us continue to work and pray together for a better world. Sincerely, Martin Luther King Jr. So You know, Mrs. Blackburn, she herself sent the original of this letter to Father Joseph Mary. She wrote the priest when she was 81 and explained that she had a letter had received from King in 1964 in which he mentions the rosary. So she recounted that she had written to King at the time of the Civil Rights Marches saying that the rosary was the best way to win hearts. And Father Joseph Mary says, I would like to give this letter to you before I die. I would like to receive it. So, you know, so that year, Martin Luther King Jr. wrote the brief letter to Miss Blackburn, 1964, was the same year he received the Nobel Peace Prize. So if you're not, like we say on the, Jesse says all the time, hey, if you're not praying your rosary, you're not on the team, you know. And we have so much going on in this world. And anyway, the question we ask is like, and we as Catholics, do we give the rosary a place in our lives, you know, aware of the value and the strength of this beautiful Marian prayer? That's for each of us to answer. So I know my daily rosary, I can't go a day, even if I hadn't prayed my rosary and I'm in bed at night, I have to say my rosary. And there are a couple times I've fallen asleep. But I know Our Lady wakes me up and I finish it as I did last night. I got to three decades and I thought, oh, well, this is going to be a piece of cake. I'll be able to finish it. Well, I fell asleep. And anyway, woke up about 3 o'clock in the morning, finished it. And so I don't go a day without saying it. Eddie, are you familiar with the 15 promises of Our Lady? She revealed to St. Dominic and the Blessed Alan de la Roche. The 15 promises.
I am, Ruben. I am.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yes, sir. And I feel the same way about you with the rosary. I'm saying the rosary minimum two times a day now because St. Michael Shield Men's Prayer Group, we pray the rosary in Latin 7 days a week. And then I do my personal rosary because of my commitment to Legion of Mary. It's to say a rosary every day. So sometimes it gets up on you, but I plan it into my day. And sometimes, you lose it, but there's no hitting the pillow because asking for the graces that come out of that and being faithful to it. When we get to these 15 promises, it'll leave you scratching your head wondering why everyone doesn't pray the rosary.
That's right. Hey, let's just go through these promises because a lot of people have never heard them. And these are promises. They're different than the rosary indulgences. Okay, so to all those who shall recite my rosary devoutly, I promise my special protection and very great graces. Do you have that in front of you, Eddie, or you want to read the second one? Or?
I do.
Okay.
And Mary, the greatest saint in heaven, promising graces. No king sits on the throne and refuses the request of his queen mother. And so having Mary as an advocate doesn't mean we worship her, but she's making a promise to us the same way God promised to never leave mankind. So having this the greatest advocate and saint that a person here on earth can have, that alone can shut down everything else. It's worth having.
Yeah. So the
item number two.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Item number two. If you got in front of you, go ahead.
Yeah. Item number two. Those who shall persevere in the recitation of my rosary shall receive some signal grace.
That's right.
You probably should explain what signal grace is.
Yeah, I got it right here. Grace is that indwelling of God, moving the soul. So signal graces are extraordinary graces that move the soul by the intellect and will in such a way that the reception of the grace to a certain degree can even be detected by others less commonly even in ourselves. So put another way, signal graces are signs sent by God to help us make the right decisions in life. Moses saw a burning bush as a sign from God. Other people receive signs from God daily. Signal graces usually come about as subtle hints to help keep us moving in the right direction, and these signs are truly gifts from God. So,
hey, I'll add to that signal grace if I may.
Go ahead.
Eight days ago, there's a member of St. Michael Shield Prayer Group who was sharing with us one of his struggles and some things that he heard from a family member whom he clearly loves, and he went on to tell us how the young man wants to dissolve the marriage, and he didn't. He had some harsh things to say about spiritual help, and he didn't say anything in the manner of cursing, but he was definitely rejecting the vows that he made and the promises of the church if you stay faithful. So we received that as a prayer intention, and right away we wrapped it into our intentions, and we began praying for that, and we kept it going, right? Mm. Whether we mentioned it audibly or not.
Yep.
This young man has turned the corner, resolving the marriage and being faithful and loving to his brother and to his faith.
Amen.
This just happened 8 days ago.
All right.
Mary is always at work. God's
always at work. Hold that thought, Eddie. We're going to be right back. Finishing up on this 15 promises of the rosary. And you don't want to change that dial. Be right back.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
We are back. Jesus 911. If you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. And I have with me a friend of mine, a Catholic Christian man that was a former lieutenant with the San Diego Sheriff's Department. And so, you know, it's great to have other first responders on the show, Eddie, like yourself, because we have a lot of first responders that listen to the show. We get emails all the time from them, and you know that it's they're spreading the word out there, and how powerful and how wonderful that is, that you know, people out there that are first responders that are getting churched up and armored up with the knowledge of the faith, and it's only got to help them in the way they carry out their duties. And I just you know, I wanted to remind people that we have to support our you know, men and women in law enforcement and fire and all those who are out there doing the Lord's work. And thank you, Eddie, for your service to not only the our military, but also domestically here, keeping order here in you know, the areas right above our border, our southern border. So,
well, you're welcome, and thank you for your service as well.
You got it, man. So let's get on and finish up this 15 promises. So the third one is, the rosary shall be a very powerful armor against hell. It will destroy vice, deliver from sin, and dispel heresy. You know, like you, you know, several saints have said that, you know, you're gonna pray the rosary, and if you're sinning, I'm actually messing up the quote, but you know, you can't pray the rosary and continue sinning. You're either gonna stop praying or you're gonna stop sinning. So that's
right. Yeah. Give up one or the other.
That's right, man. They can't. Yeah. They're mutually exclusive, man. You can't be having both, living a lie as it is. Go ahead, Eddie.
And you know what's funny is, one of the points that Dr. Snyder and Jesse both made in separate presentations this weekend, the devil loves the mouth that curses out of the same mouth that a person blesses.
That's right.
So when we do those kind of things, we're like an open sepulcher. We're just wide open and rife for all kinds of harassment and backlash, because you can't lead a double life. Mm-hmm. You're either all the way in or all the way out. And you look at the rosary, powerful armor. We speak in those terms. You and I wore body armor for the greater part of our career.
Right.
And those kind of things protect us. But we put insurance on our houses, our money, our homes and cars, medical insurance. But we don't put our insurance against a soul. The rosary is one of the greatest devices to get help for us. You don't have to believe the lies of Black Lives Matter. If you're confused about it, you can something someone said. Praying the rosary helps guide you to the correct answer. Mm-hmm. It keeps you from falling into the same heresy, the same mistake that's being made, deliver you from sin. You talk about, just like you touched on, breaking the habit and getting out of sin and truly being contrite. I think a lot of us here, when God's going to help you, or an angel's going to help you, or someone can intercede for you, we think in terms of instant conversion. Mm-hmm. Well, you got to do that kind of work, first of all. And then when God says in his providence that it's time to convert, or it's time for you to finish that journey, that's when it's going to occur.
That's right.
So we shouldn't give up on prayer because we don't get instant results.
Yeah.
Or looking for that buttery Jesus type of feeling, like my friend Ernie and I like to say.
Yeah, you know,
it's work.
Yeah,
you got work to do.
Eddie, we live in a world of, we want instant gratification. You know, nobody watches the commercials anymore. Everything's fast forwarded. It's just, you know, you just pop something quickly in the microwave. But, you know, our faith is, you know, we have to, as Catholics, you know, remember what the eternal reward that we're working towards. And so it's not for the here and now. We're working for eternity. And And so keep fighting the good fight. The fourth point, Eddie, you want to read that one?
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, you touched on the fourth point there, yeah. Fighting the good fight. The rosary will cause virtue and good works to flourish, and it will obtain for souls the most abundant mercy of God. Withdraw hearts of men from the love of the world and its vanities, joining groups, chanting things, political rallies, and lift them to the desire of heavenly and eternal things. Now, that's my favorite. If you don't mind, sure. I'm going to start from the end and work backwards. Lifting you from the desire, or raising you to want heavenly things and desire eternal things. When we start making this turn in our lives and doing right, and standing up and walking like full-grown men and full-grown women, our families say, what do you think? You're holy?
Yeah.
And our answer is found in yes, because holy means to be set apart.
That's right.
And we weren't made to be in this world and participate in all of the things. I remember, I think it's Solomon, when God tells him go into the land, he said, don't mix in with those people because you're going to end up worshiping them false gods. Well, not only did he go into one woman, he went into many, many and had all the wives and stuff, and he did not do what God told him to do. Disobedience, number one, and then he lost his desire for heavenly things. You know, he had all the graces, mm-hmm. all the knowledge, but he lost his desire, lost his focus. Praying the rosary helps us look forward. It helps us to focus on the end, one of the four last things. And then when we leave this planet Earth, we'll have a little bit of equity invested so that the saints and the angels in heaven can work harder for us.
That's right.
And that's why I like starting with number four. And you think about your end, you will become a better Catholic.
That's right. That's right, man. Sometimes they'll say, well, you know, what do you want people to say for you at your, your eulogy? How do you want them to eulogize you? Well, so think about that, what you want said about you, and then live your life backwards, you know? So,
I want all the choirs of angels to eulogize me, because they're going to eulogize me in front of God, in front of Jesus Christ, the judge. And that's the eulogy that I want to be read, and I want to be immediately accepted.
Hey, there you go. And, you know, Our Lady is the most sure way to get to Jesus, the most direct way. She's always, well, she's by his side, you know, their wheels are joined. They're in such accord, you know. So the fifth point, those who trust themselves to me through the rosary shall not perish. And the emphasis on shall not perish. So Our Lady's not going to let anyone go to their death that is dedicated to her rosary. And, I would also add the brown scapular too. I'm a big fan of the brown scapular.
I would agree 100%.
Yeah.
And, you know, people would read this and out of foolishness, they'll retort something to the effect of, well, everybody's going to die. Well, of course we're going to die. Our human body's going to die. Mm-hmm. But we all have a soul that will not die. It cannot die.
Mm-hmm.
And by the providence of God, your soul lives on forever in your eternal reward, whether it be above with him or down below with the rest of the pit. So Mary telling us we're not going to perish. Stay close to her, and she's telling us she's taking us to heaven.
Yeah.
So we have to do the work here. We have to grind it out, put on our sack, no matter how tired it is, and get up and do what it is in your state of life that you're called to do, and you won't perish.
That's right.
You can't go out and be a worldly person and then expect to get all of these help. It's not a good luck charm.
Yeah.
It's not something you can throw out there at the last minute.
Yeah.
It's a faithful commitment reflecting on the mysteries of Jesus' life every day.
Yeah, yeah. Like I used to come across these little cholos in East L.A., and you know, they've got a rosary around their neck. And I'm saying, hey, what are you wearing that for? Well, my grandmother gave it to me for good luck. Good luck, I said, for crying out loud. Learn to pray it, you know? Oh, you know, and we sit there on the hood of my radio car, you know, and I said, okay, what do you say on this the crucifix? What do you say? You know, they'd get it wrong, and I'd correct them, and
uh-huh.
You know, meanwhile, I'd be, hey, put your hands back on the car, guys. You know, cause
right.
We had like five.
You know, if I had a dollar for every.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Man, if I had a nickel for every rosary that I see hanging from the rearview mirror,
mm-hmm.
and I roll up to people at the stop sign and say hello and, you know, smile at people and say, hey, pray the rosary for me and I'll pray mine for you. And they go, they give it a little weak hello. They have no idea what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
this crazy guy
talking
to me to pray. And it's like a showpiece sometimes. But it's too bad. So I get a little silly sometimes.
Yeah.
You know? But I see the rosary.
Yep.
It's what's wrong with being hopeful? Absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Pray the rosary for me,
because
I'm going to pray mine for you. And whether or not they do it, it's okay. I'm still going to pray mine for them.
That's a good one. I'm going to have to use that one, Eddie. Sixth point, Eddie.
Sixth point, those who shall recite my rosary devoutly, meditating on its mysteries, shall not be overwhelmed by misfortune. God will not chastise him in his justice. He shall not perish by an unprovided death. If he be just, he shall remain in the grace of God and become worthy of eternal life. So it right in the middle there, unprovided death. That makes me, those words make me think of St. Joseph. This is the year of St. Joseph.
Yeah.
But Joseph, the protector of the Holy Family here on earth, Mary is going to bring all things to bear. All things are made available to her. And if Mary tells us that she's going to provide for us at death, that's better than Aflac. That's better than Allstate. That's better than everything that this world could prompt. Because if she's going to provide for us at death, we're going to be well-suited to go strolling into heaven, provide whether you need cleanup or not. That goes back to the previous point telling us we will not perish.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to remain in the grace of God. We stay close to her and her rosary. And so therefore worthy of eternal life. And, truly, none of us are worthy, through our sin, we deserve all the punishments of hell. But because of what Jesus did for us on the cross and his merits, our Lord, our Heavenly Father looks kindly on us. And let's go on to the seventh point. Those truly devoted to my rosary shall not die without the sacraments of the church. That is huge. That is powerful. And I told a story about my mother who was devoted to the rosary. She prayed probably like three rosaries a day. And when she was dying, her priest was supposed to come on a Wednesday. Well, his schedule freed up and he came. She was already at home hospice. And his schedule freed up and he came on Tuesday. It just so happened that was he gave her the anointing of the sick, and that was just the day that she died. Like she's praying a decade of the rosary with him, and she was praying the chapel of Divine Mercy too. So and I just said, look, Mary is so faithful because my mom was faithful to the rosary. Her prayers is what really brought me back to my faith, so I thought that's such a beautiful way to go out, and she had her family by her side, and it was just amazing that Our Lady did not let her die without the sacraments, and it just the way it worked out, man. That's a promise. So we're gonna have to pick this up on the other side of the break. And
sounds good.
You're listening to Jesus 911. We'll change that dial. We're gonna finish this up, and then we're gonna talk about President Trump. He's the Sanctity of Human Life Day is coming up. Want to hear that?
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911. John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly. So, Eddie, we're talking, finishing up here, the promises of the rosary, and we were on number eight.
Yeah, we're going to number eight. You know, I see a pattern forming, Ruben, if I could just throw this out.
Sure.
All of these promises are interwoven. None of them compete or nullify the previous one or the one to follow. The second point I notice is that they call for a relationship. Scripture likes to use the word covenant. And that covenant calls for us, God comes down to us, and in this case, it's Mary making promises to us, and then we in turn have to do our share. And those promises that she will provide for us are contingent on us participating. And what is she asking us to do? To think about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Think about Jesus. She always leads us to Jesus. Yeah. Always, always, always. And that's why I say I see the pattern forming here.
Yeah, you're right.
Number eight tells us, those who recite my rosary shall find during their life and at their death the light of God, the fullness of his grace. At the moment of death, they shall participate in the merits of the saints in paradise. That kind of makes you even a little more hopeful that, hey, I'm not going to purgatory. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. Some rosary sayers, practitioners are better than others. And if purgatory is going to be reduced, that's a very, very, very powerful grace. Because I think the world and some softer sides of theology today make us believe that purgatory is a kind of anxious waiting period. No, there's going to be some suffering. There's going to be some cleansing. There's going to be reparation for sin that hasn't been made, where reparations haven't been made in this life. So I would prefer to pass purgatory, and I'm going to remain hopeful, and I'm going to work as hard as I can.
Yeah.
You know, this is not an instant fix. We spend a lifetime of sin and bad habits, and we all want an instant fix when we say a prayer. That's not the way it works.
Well, you mentioned purgatory. What's right here in the next one? It says, I shall deliver very promptly from purgatory the souls devoted to my rosary. So it's, you know, also the promises of the brown scapular. She's not gonna let anybody suffer the hellfire. So what it's kind of saying is Our Lady's gonna go, and you know, since Saturdays are dedicated to her, on the very the very first Saturday upon your death, it is said that she will scour purgatory and pull out any of her children that are there. So you know, let's say you die on a Friday, well, you might spend a day in purgatory, but she's going to get you out. And and I know I have faith in that. I believe in that. And so
I definitely believe it. I heard it's a Saturday. I heard it's the first Saturday. Whatever case it is, when the Blessed Mother comes looking for me, I want to be found. I want to be found. I want to be known to be on her team when she comes to gather in the children.
Yeah.
Where are we? Number 10. Nine?
Number 10.
Number 10. Excuse. The true children of my rosary shall merit a high degree of glory in heaven.
That's right, man. Everybody thinks that, you know, our separated brethren seem to think that everybody's in heaven is in the same place. But no, there's different degrees. You know, you had the virgin martyrs are way up at the top. You know, you have confessors and you had, you know, there's so many different levels. And it, you know, why should we all get to the, you know, first of all, we're going to be, if we're in heaven, man, we can't complain. We've made it. You know, there's going to be higher degrees from people who, you know, like the Padre Pio's, man, you know, St. John Vianney's,
those kind of things right there. You just get more and more hope as I review these periodically. I send them to my two children. I have a 22-year-old and a 16-year-old. And of course, they know more than me. But I say, hey, read over these things and just talk about 3 points with me. You know, humor me. But reviewing them every now and then causes a great deal of hope. And a higher degree in heaven, we're perfect and we're perfectly happy. And you couldn't possibly desire anything when you're in heaven. Yeah. But there are different levels and different. Everyone will be perfectly content at their level. But if you can go higher, that implies you work harder here. And if we're working harder here, we are certainly not forsaking what God gives us. We're working to be as close as we possibly can with God the Father and the Holy Trinity, all of the Holy Trinity.
That's right. Point number 11, you shall obtain all you ask of me by the recitation of the rosary. So she hears all our prayers. She takes them to our Lord. And, you know, how could he deny her? You know, we know that from, you know, Second Samuel. And, you know, the queen mother she has a special place with the king. And so anyway, next point.
Those who propagate my rosary shall be aided by me in all their necessities. I like this point tied on to point number 11 as well. We should probably discipline ourselves very, very quickly and not think that an answered prayer means yes. Because an answer can be no, and an answer can be not right now. Mm-hmm. But an answered prayer doesn't mean yes, or doesn't always mean yes, and it doesn't mean it's instant. And when we get ourselves out of that discipline, out of the habit of wanting instant gratification, what we ask for, we pray for conversion of our loved ones. We pray for conversion of our children, you know, our spouses, our husbands and wives. We're going to get it.
Yeah.
And it's given to us in the providence of God. God works out of time because he created time. We work in time, and we should be very patient and stay on task when we get to the business of trying to save a soul.
And you know what, Eddie? I liked what Dan Schneider said this weekend, because all, you know, we all have family members or our own children that have strayed from the faith. And so instead of looking at them in your prayer life and meditating about them and the condition that they're in, look at them through the eyes of when they had sanctification, when they were walking in with God. And And that beautiful image of them as children, or wherever the last time you remember them, following their faith, and project that image, you know, and that's how you want to ask our Lord to bring them back to that, you know, to that image. And
yeah. And in the light of Christ prayer that goes with projection of that image, you know, it tells us to, you know, let us see them the way God sees them, mm-hmm. and let them see themselves the way God sees them, opposed to what the world tells us we are, what we should be. That prayer is very, very powerful, and I'm trying hard to incorporate it into all of my prayers, because if I see things the way God sees it, I'm probably going to try to work it and appease him if I'm paying attention. That's what I would like to get out of that.
Okay, 13. 13, right? I've obtained from my divine Son all that the advocate of the rosary shall have for intercessors, the entire celestial court during their life and at the hour of death. Okay.
So there it is. She's telling us she's going to call on her entire army to intercede for us. Entire celestial court.
She's the queen of angels and the queen of saints.
Be with us. Mm-hmm. At the hour of our death is the greatest battle of our life, where Satan's going to try to claim that soul.
That's right.
That's the hour. In fact, we say it every day in the Hail Mary,
yeah.
when we ask her to pray for us now and at the hour of our death. And, you know, like I said earlier, us cradle Catholics tend to gloss over things, or we try to hurry up and say the prayer to get done. Mm-hmm. But we're asking Mary to be with us at the most critical point in our life. If you live to be 91 or if you're 21, mm-hmm. the final hour of that life, there's going to be a battle for our soul. And it's going to intensify like never before. And that's the hour we want the greatest advocate with our army to be there praying for us and pulling for us.
Yeah, I want the Holy Family there at my side, St. Joseph, Our Lady, and
Amen to
Jesus.
That.
Yeah.
And
point,
Jesus.
Point 14.
Those who recite my rosary faithfully are all my beloved children, the brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Is there a greater title for a human to have than to be called a brother and sister of Jesus Christ?
Nope.
Not changing your sex, not changing your orientation, none of those things. African-American, Hispanic-American, a brother or sister of Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
it destroys all those other titles or all those other desirable things that the world tells us.
There's only one race, Eddie, the human race, you know, and
that's right.
You know, we're going to be children of God. We are children of God, and we want to live our lives in such a way that we honor that. The last point, a devotion to my rosary is a great sign of predestination,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
So that's a pretty good feeling to know that, hey, man, I have a good chance of meriting heaven by stay close to Our Lady in the rosary.
Right.
All right.
And if I may, Ruben.
Yeah.
I think a lot of us we don't understand the full context of the word predestination.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that some of us are doomed for hell and some of us are being chosen for heaven.
Yeah, that's
predestination is telling us how God and the heavenly court works outside of time. And they already know who's going to do what and follow through in our lives. We, on this term, we're being told that doing this habit, i.e. praying the rosary and reflect on the life of Christ, you're probably going to make it, but that means stay faithful, stay on task, and do what it is that our station in life calls us to do. So that's a great sign. It's a great signal, but it doesn't mean someone is not chosen to go to heaven, because Scripture tells us from the beginning, God desires that all of us come to heaven. He made us, and he made all of us to return for him. It's written on our hearts. So to turn to some of the other things that we've been in is wrong.
Amen. Hey, Eddie, it looks like we're not going to have time to get into this. I'm just going to mention people can go to our face page and our website and pull up the articles that we were going to talk about. But President Trump declared January 22nd as National Sanctity of Human Life Day. You know, the president issued a stirring call to action and eloquently described how abortion has adversely affected our country and the world. He encouraged pro-life Americans to never back down in ending abortion and restoring a respect for the sanctity of human life. Well, you know, that might be gone next year when Biden tries to disrupt everything that the president did. But you need to read his proclamation, because it's very well written, and you know, we're Roe versus Wade has been in around for 48 years, and 50 million innocent lives or more are dying each year from abortion. So read that proclamation; it's beautiful. And you know, I like to think of Donald Trump as the most Catholic president we've ever had. You know, he was not even Catholic, but he was more Catholic than then the one that might be taking his seat, and some people might say,
if we ever get another one, if we ever get another one with those qualities to promote sanctity of life, it will be a double blessing, and we know we're turning the corner. Yeah. I'll pray for that for sure. Continue to pray for Donald Trump and pray that this administration changes from their heart.
That's right. Hey Eddie, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. We're going to do this again, man. I know that I might be able to call on you again when Jesse takes off. So I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
You really added value to the show, Eddie, and I know our listeners loved it. Really important message. Just stick to your guns. Praying that rosary. Pray for our president and our country. We are in some difficult times. Like it said, the first thing I said, the Titanic has hit an iceberg. We're taking on water. So,
Amen.
Stay tuned.
Your rosary.
That's right. Stay tuned for Hands On Apologetics with Gary Mashuda. Thank you for listening. And make sure you get a hold of Virgin Most Powerful Radio if you haven't heard the conference this weekend. We are out. 10-7. Have a good day.